Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Daughter, Pastor Simone singing Dreammaker. Did you love that song? It's so good. We were outside out by the pool yesterday, and Scarlett says there was some country music playing on the Google Home, and she said, Grammy, can I tell Google Home to play Dreammaker? So they love that song. Cash, all of them, they're stuck on it right now. How many believe God is making your dreams come true? Just raise up your hand, because my life hashtag in this house is my dreams come true, our dreams come true. So I'll just keep dreaming in this season. I feel like God is stirring up our hearts to dream again. And those things that perhaps have not manifested yet, God's working on it. He's working on it. This is a season of fulfillment. It's a season of flourishing. It's a season of freedom. And I'm going to prophesy it right till December 31st. I'm going to prophesy it right to the end of the year, because, you know, God's never late. It might appear that he is, but what I've learned with him is he comes in the midnight hour. Amen? And right when you feel like you can't take it another second, that you've waited, your wait's all waited out. It's overdue. But he's always perfectly on time. I've entitled the message this morning, Perfect Peace. And I'm coming down to the end of this Built for Battle series, but if ever there was a time in the warfare that we need to remember that we have the perfect peace of God, it's right now. It is right now. I had a battle seed for you this morning, but I decided to just talk about Day of Atonement seed, and I do want to give you the scripture, though, because the context of it is going to be really important for today's message. Isaiah 26:3, it's a life verse of mine, and it's a promise, and it says that you, God, will keep him or her in perfect peace. So I want to stop right there. The keeping is God's part. You see that? You will keep him. You will keep him in it, in this perfect peace. But our responsibility is to keep our mind on him. It says, whose mind is stayed on you because he or she trusts in you. So here's why that we're going to be kept in perfect peace, is because we keep our mind stayed on the Lord. So when you're in a spiritual battle, you need weapons. Every army needs soldiers that are trained and that have appropriate weapons, and that we know how to use our weapons. And so I've been giving you these weapons, and just in review, number one was the Word of God. That's what Jesus used as his weapon of choice when he was in the battle against the devil in the wilderness. He said, the scriptures say, as it is written. So that's what he came back to the enemy with in his most weakened and vulnerable state. He was also using another weapon, which is fasting, which is number five. I jumped ahead a little bit, but for us, we can use a faith-wrapped battle seed, because anytime you wrap faith around the word, what is a battle seed? It is a seed of God's word. We know that the word of God is a seed. Even Jesus talked about this seed that's being sown on hard ground, the wayside and all of that. So it's the word of God, right? But the word of God is also a seed that needs to be sown in soil. It not only needs to be sown in the soil of our heart, but when we sow into kingdom work, that's kingdom soil. Amen? So this will break cycles. I say seeds break cycles. So a battle seed is very important. The full armor of God. Praying in the Spirit. Jesus was obviously the full armor of God. He is the armor of God. He was wearing the armor of God. It doesn't go into all of that in Ephesians 6, but in the story of him being in the wilderness, but in Ephesians 6, it does go into it. Paul talks about it. And these are all pieces of what we have in Christ, right? I'm not going to camp on all of that today, but just very quickly, what those pieces are is we have a belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see that piece is Jesus himself, right? We have a belt of truth. We have a breastplate of righteousness. Who is our righteousness? It's Jesus, right? He is our righteousness. So, and then we have the helmet of salvation. Who saved us? It's Jesus. He's our Savior, right? So as you see, all these pieces of our armor are actually Jesus. We have a shield of faith, right? He said, I've given you my very own faith. I've given you enough faith to get the job done. And it will shield you against all, not some, all the fiery darts of the devil. He may take a shot at you, but if you will raise up the faith that I've given you, you will not only deflect that, but you'll be able to move forward in battle. And I've given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see that? He is the word. Jesus said, you know, it's Jesus. He's the word. And then he's given us our shoes of peace. Who is our peace? It's Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen? He's the Prince of Peace. Who made peace between God and us when we were not reconciled unto him and we were sinners and we were antagonistic and oppositional toward him? Who was it who made peace for us? It was Jesus. So the armor of God is literally Jesus himself. And so in the word back in the Old Testament, when it talks about how God will keep us in perfect peace, this was a promise that one day when you give your heart to the Lord, I, God the Father, will put you in my Son who is the Prince of Peace. And I will keep you there, and no one will ever snatch you out of my hand. You will be sealed to the day of redemption. And if you will just keep your mind on him and trust in him, I will take care of you. Everybody got that? Did you see that? Who are you in? Who are you in? I didn't say, what are you in? I said, who are you in? You're in Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the perfect peace of God. He is the Prince of Peace. You're being kept in him. Our job is to trust in him. And so our fourth weapon is the authority, the name, and the blood of Jesus, and our testimony. That's a bunch of them all wrapped up, actually. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, all in four, right? Fasting, praise and worship, which I went into last week, so we should continually be offering our praise and our worship. We saw how that praise just caused the enemy to go into a state of confusion. The Lord set ambushes against the enemy. The enemy is going to turn on himself and destroy himself. And listen, it can be so ominous when you feel like the enemy is coming against you. What I have learned is that there's just something simple, like praising God, that will start to do things in the spirit realm. You may not be able to see it, but there's battles going on that you will never even have to fight if all you'll do is open your mouth and begin to praise God and sing of his goodness like we did this morning, and begin to sing of his love and begin to sing of his mercy and begin to declare his attributes, his characteristics, and all of that. If you can't think of anything, just say, oh, Lord, I thank you for peace. You are peace. You just are peace. I'm going to get into this text, but today I'm on this last one, peace and thanksgiving, and I'm really going to focus on peace. So according to Jesus, point A, we've been given his own peace. And I'll show you the text here in a minute. And it shuts down the devil when we use it. It's one of our most effective war moves, and it's our personal responsibility to use it. Now, God's promise in the Old Testament in Isaiah 26 is to keep us in Jesus, which is perfect peace. Okay? And now Jesus comes on the scene, is born into the world, grows up, starts his public ministry, and he's getting ready to die on the cross, to give his life as a sacrificial offering so that we can have that promise fulfilled in Isaiah 26, so that we can be put in him. Okay? And he says this to them in John 14, 27, because he's telling them, I'm going away. I'm going away, and you're not going to be seeing me anymore, but you'll know that I'm with you because I'm going to send to you another. I'm going to send to you the Comforter. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you, right? He's going to be an advocate. He's going to be a standby. He's going to be an intercessor. He's going to be all the things that you experienced when you were with me, but you won't see me anymore. But you'll know it's me because it's my spirit. Yeah? So what you felt when you were around me, now you will be able to feel by my spirit that is going to be with you in here. Yeah? And he's telling, I'm going away, so I'm going to give you a parting gift. Man. Can you imagine the God of heaven and earth giving you a parting gift and what that parting gift would be? He's telling them, before I go, I'm going to give you this now, but then you're going to get the Holy Spirit, which is going to actually manifest everything I'm telling you in your life, right? So in John 14, 27, he says, peace, I leave you, I leave with you, my own peace. So this isn't like some guru's peace, some meditator's peace, some shaman's peace, right? Some other religion that chants and hums and no, this is my peace. I now give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So in other words, you can't get this in the world. The world is going to have all kinds of methods for how you can calm your mind and get peace in your soul and all of these things. And people are paying, I don't know how much, but large sums of money every year to go to these retreats. And, you know, they drink all these hallucinogenic drinks and they burn sage and they chant and they do all these things. And they're just as tormented as they were before they went there. Because you can't get what Jesus gives you in methods. You can only get it in the man. So he says, I'm going to give it to you. And then watch this. I put all these personal responsibility in quotation inserts in here because there is a responsibility that we have that we must partner with God in order to experience it. You can have a gift and never open it and not experience it. Okay? And so he says, do not let your heart be troubled. So when your heart's getting troubled, you have a responsibility to say to your soul, stop it. Knock it off. I'm not going to let you do that. I talk to myself like that because that's what he told me to do. Don't let it. You know, if a monster's coming in your house, you need to shut the door. You need to lock the door. Yeah? You need to get your weapons out and make sure that you're not going to let it come in. It's a responsibility that we have to guard our house. So he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Your hearts. So that's personal responsibility as well. Don't let it be afraid. I'm stopping on this verse and I'm just sitting there for a minute because we feel fear, but we must stop it when it comes because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so when fear comes, because we're thinking, thoughts create emotions. Emotions are energy in motion. You got to let it pass, just let it pass on down your street. See, that's an energy that just needs to be in motion. Just move right on down there because you don't belong at my house. He's saying, don't let it, don't permit it. You've got to get to the point where you're militant and you just stop allowing it. There have been days I've allowed things way too long because I was just on autopilot. I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling afraid and the thoughts are coming and I'm not guarding my mind and taking every thought captive and remembering, wait, Jesus gave me peace. He didn't give me fear. And it's my responsibility to not permit this to hang around on my property, in my head, in my house a second longer than it has been here. And then he says, stop allowing yourselves, another personal responsibility, to be agitated and disturbed. Do you see all these instructions? So he's saying, here's your present. I'm giving you my very own peace. Do not permit, do not let. Do not allow yourselves. He's just given him all these instructions. Now it's your job, to, with the peace that I've given to you, to stop all these things from happening in your life. You are not a powerless victim just waiting for the next pass-through of demonic activity to just keep coming through your house and just taking you out. And when I learned this, I was like, oh, uh-uh. Oh, uh-uh. Come on, you guys. He says, stop it. And do not permit yourselves, personal responsibility, to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now that's a good coach. Yeah? This present is going to give you the power to stop all these things from happening in your life. What is that weapon? What is that gift? It's peace. I don't know about you, but I have learned. There have been times in my life when things are just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But the peace of God does not mean the absence of conflict or war. It just means I'm different in it. Yeah? I'm not being destroyed by it. And if Jesus gave this to me, it would be foolish of me not to utilize this powerful weapon, right? So that was in 14. Now in John 16, Jesus, how many of you parents repeat yourself because you feel like your child did not hear you the first time? Yeah? You all know you do, sometimes repeatedly, right? More than once. And then, so he's telling them again two chapters later, I have told you these things. Go back and read what the things are. I have told you these, and he's told them a bunch of like things to comfort them, and, you know, but he's also given them the real. Now, there's some tribulation coming. There's some horrible things that are going to happen on the earth. But I've told you all these things about me being here with you, me comforting you, me praying for you, me walking with you, me being your ride or die, me giving you my peace. I've told you all these things. So that purpose. Where? In me. Everybody, I hope the revelation's starting to hit you. In other words, you're going to have to be in me. He's telling them they're going to have to be in him when he's standing in front of them. How about if I went up to you, Gardenia, and said, one day, you're not only going to be with me, but you're going to be in me. I'm going away in my body, and I'm going to send you my spirit, and your spirit will be in me, and my spirit will be in you, and we're going to be together, and you're going to know I'm with you. And you're going to be in me, like all up in me. Yeah? What? Jesus is using the language of Isaiah, the prophet, to them, and I'm sure there was a lot of things. That's going over their head. But we are on this side of the cross with the prophetic from the Old Testament, the fulfillment of the new, and now it makes sense to us because we're the generation that didn't have him here in bodily form. We met him in the spirit. Hello? We met him in the spirit. So he's saying, I'm telling you, it was harder for them to wrap their head around it than it is for us because we got born again by the spirit. They had to receive all this stuff with their carnal mind without the infilling of the Holy Spirit and be expecting a spiritual experience they'd never had before so they could be back in the guy they walked with on the earth. But he's good enough to tell them you're going to have all these things. They needed this message because what they were signing up for were martyrs' deaths. And persecution, and he was good enough to tell them that these things would happen to them, but he gave them the antidote. He gave them the power to be able to go through it. Everybody still with me? He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have, what, perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. In other words, you can laugh about it. Some of you just need to throw your head back and go, sorry. Go get your mom. You need to laugh about it. That's what he's saying. Just you can be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain. Be certain. Be undaunted. Look up that word, undaunted. For I, watch, Jesus is saying something that is already a done deal, even though it hadn't happened yet. Because Jesus always spoke as things were already done. Because he knew his mission, he knew he would fulfill it. He knows everything he said, he's already fulfilled, and it's already purposed, and the plan is already in place, and there's nothing that surprises him. He said, I've already overcome the world. I have, not I will. I have. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. All right? So the first thing you got to understand is that you, to practice peace amid demonic opposition, you must have the knowledge that God's purpose and plans prevail regardless of what the enemy does. How many of you know that God's purpose and plans are going to prevail regardless of what the enemy does? His word, Jesus, the word says, many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand and prevail. That's Proverbs 19:21. So, you know, the man can have all kinds of plans. I look at people making all these plans, and sometimes they look like they've got a little bit of an advantage, but I sit back and I think, God is laughing at you. That's what it says. He sits in the heavens and he laughs at his enemies. He's up there laughing. He's like, I don't know what it sounds like when he laughs. I want to hear him when I get to heaven. But I'm sure it's some kind of big old belly laugh, just hilarious. But we get to decide whether to meditate on the fact that we're already a winner because we're in him, the one whose purpose and plans prevail, and believe that, or not to have faith and believe the enemy's lies. And that's not, it's not as easy as it sounds, but it can be done if we will stay in peace. I can't tell you how many days I've said, Lord, this is bad, but there's a purpose in this. And whatever your purpose is and whatever your plan is, I know it will prevail. And so I'm going to focus on you, even though I'm in a trial, even though I'm in a distressful situation, even though I am feeling frustration. I have a personal responsibility not to let these emotions stay at my house. Again, emotion is just energy in motion. We don't want to stuff it because it starts to show up in our body. Remember me teaching on the Peace Out series? When you're feeling all those things, I say feel it to heal it. You can feel it and acknowledge that you feel it, but we get to decide what feeling we keep and what feeling we let move on through. Amen? You know how many people are medicating their bodies and their minds because they don't have the word of God and they don't know how to appropriate the right emotion in a situation like that that will bring calm and peace to their life? Yeah? And you need Jesus for this. I want to move back here for a moment to God's prevailing purpose amid demonic opposition. Because it's good to look at examples. Examples help me all the time. I like to look at someone's life who's gone through tremendous opposition, and I see them rise. I see, after all of the painful stuff, I see the purpose of God, and you start to see the tapestry of God's handiwork from that season, and you go, wow, I can see what you were doing there. And that person, they trusted you amid all kinds of opposition, and look what you did with their courage. And Ruth is one of those people. After her mother-in-law's husband's death, Ruth decided to show kindness to her hurting mother-in-law, Naomi, and glean the fields so they could live. And that was she thought that was her purpose. I'm just going to go with her, and I'm going to comfort her, and I'm going to stand beside her because this is really terrible what has happened to her. The two daughter-in-laws lost their husbands as well, but, you know, Naomi had lost her husband, and she was very bitter, and she was very hurt, and she was a widow. And as you know, widows needed sons to take care of them. They needed a kinsman redeemer. And at that point, Ruth was alone in a foreign country. There was not going to be anybody to take care of her. I mean, Naomi. And so Ruth decides that she is going to stand beside her. She said, your people will be my people. I will go with you. I will not leave you. I will stay with you. So that was all she thought she was doing. Horrible. I have gone through the death of a spouse. You guys have watched me for the last 3 years walk out being a widow. And it is not easy to continue to walk in your purpose and to feel all of the feelings that I have gone through. And some of you have lost as well, but it's very difficult. You have to focus on the purpose you have in that season. You may not see everything that God has on the horizon, but one thing I've known is what my purpose is. And if I will just stick with that, that's what God said. Don't make choices out of pain. You make them out of purpose. And if you will just show up every day and do the thing that's right, that's in front of you, later you will start to see the greater picture. In everything I have purposed for you, there will be stuff that comes out of this season of pain that will be good, that will blow your mind. Amen? And so Ruth didn't think that when she went to that foreign country, she was actually going to get a husband that was one of the great, the most wealthy men in the whole region, and that was going to be a blessing to her life. She just went there thinking, I'll just do the right thing. And so many times, we need to do the same thing. We need to say, God, this is painful, but I'm going to do the next right thing in front of me, and I'm going to do the best I can to be a source of peace to the person next to me that's hurting. I'm going to try to bring peace to my own life and walk this thing out, knowing that you have a greater plan. Right. Esther developed a risky plan to save her people's lives, but God's purpose was to destroy the enemies of his people and establish her as a queen over a nation. Here's a little girl that she had no royalty. She had nothing other than just a heart for God. And the Lord brings her out of obscurity, right? Because she had a heart for her people. And she ends up in the palace and risks her own life. She fasts for 3 days and calls a fast for the nation. And the great tormentor of that nation that was going to destroy her people was hung on the very gallows that he had prepared for one of her relatives. And let me tell you something about the purpose and the plans of God. It may be hard for you right now, but God is about to elevate you, and he's about to take you into places that you never dreamed were possible. If you will say, I will not give up in the painful seasons, but I will continue to do the next right thing in front of me, because the purpose and the plans of God will prevail over my life. And it may be chaotic out there, but I will steward this soul of mine, and I will live in the peace of God, and I will appropriate the peace of God until the next thing opens up for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Amen. Again, religious leaders under the influence of Satan planned to kill Jesus Christ, but God planned to destroy the works of Satan through the sinless sacrifice of his son. They didn't know that he voluntarily chose to become the Lamb of God that takes away the world's sins. But God planned to provide redemption and eternal life to all who trust in the finished work of the cross. When the disciples were looking at what looked like the ultimate defeat of their Savior and their Lord, it probably didn't look like any of these words were true. There will be times where it doesn't look like any of those words are true. The one whose words you hung your life upon. Think about that as being a disciple. All of a sudden, the picture, the gruesome picture of death and destruction is in your face. In that moment, you have to make up your mind that you're not going to look at what looks like the obvious, but you're going to go back to the words that he spoke. He said, I'm going to be in a grave for 3 days, but I'm going to come back out, and then I'm going to put my peace in you, and I'm going to put you in me, the Prince of Peace, and you will have it forever and ever and ever. Because the purpose and the plans of God will always prevail. The second thing you must understand amid demonic opposition is that peace is more than a feeling. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? He is known as the Prince of Peace, and he encompasses and emits the totality of what peace is. And as I start to wrap this up, the biblical Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. It's a common salutation used by Jews at meetings or at parting. And it means to be whole. It means to be safe in mind, body, or estate. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, completeness, full of well-being, with health and prosperity, upon you. That's what it means. And that word was not one they created. That word was given to them by God with an instruction to the high priest who was ordained to bless the people with their words. There is life and there is death in your words. And when God gave a mandate to his high priest to speak this over his people, this is a prophetic picture of what Jesus would ultimately one day do for us once and for all. Everybody still here? In the Old Testament, there was a commandment to the high priest to speak this over the people. In the New Testament, the great high priest came and he stood on the earth and he released this word, not only in word, but in person, upon us forever. It is my number one life verse. And as I say, if you ever get a card, if you ever get a birthday greeting, if you ever get anything from me, handwritten or otherwise, I will always tag this on the end of my salutation or my greeting or my blessing. Because it is upon us. It has not only been spoken upon us, but it has been released upon us by God himself and Jesus Christ, the high priest forever, upon our life. May the Lord get this so rooted in your spirit today that it changes your life and the trajectory of your life forever. May it not just be some word that a priest has said over you, but may it become a living reality in your life, released upon you by the Lord himself, by the person himself. He said, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you with divine approval and give you peace, a tranquil heart and life. When was this given? It's so important to understand context and timing. This instruction by God was given to them right before they are going into war and conflict to conquer and take the land that was promised to them. Not a mistake. They were facing enemies that were greater than them. They were facing nations that were more wealthy and greater in number and greater in armies than them. They were small in number, but God said, you speak to them, and when you speak to them as the high priest, this blessing will come upon them. My favor will be on them. My face and my presence will be upon them. Amen? I will guard them. I will sustain them. I will give them heart courage. I will give them a certainty, an undaunted spirit. And when they come against Jericho, and when they come against these other fortified cities, because the word of peace and shalom and wholeness and courage has been spoken over their life, no matter what enemy they face, they will be able to march in there and take what I promised them. And it will not be the absence of war, but it will be the presence of me and my peace with them that will help them conquer what they could not do on their own. I believe that God is rehearsing with us. He is reminding us as a good father. There are many voices out there. There are many pockets of anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Christ groups that are coming against the church, coming against your children, coming against your businesses. I know people that are experiencing religious persecution right now that could lose their license. They could lose everything they've worked for because of their stand for Christ. Listen, folks, Jesus didn't say it was going to get better and better out there. He said, I'm going to get better and better. And in you, I am going to be able to do things through you that no other people will be able to do. There's going to come a coldness. There's going to become a drifting that happens with those who do not know me. That's why you need to know me. And I love that statement, that quote as I end this. It says, know, K-N-O-W, know through intimate relationship. Know Jesus, know peace, and you will know peace. Amen? But N-O, know Jesus, N-O, peace, no peace. And I just want to encourage you. I'm fired up today. I tell you what, I'm fighting from a position of peace right now. And it may look like everything in my life is turning around and it's going really good, but here's what I know. The enemy is warring for my promise. He is warring for your promise. And I have learned in times of peace or in times of war that I need to put my shoes of peace on every day. I need to stand in the peace that was purchased for me through Jesus Christ at the cross. I need to stand in the finished work of the cross. I need to remind myself that I am in shalom. I am in peace, that Jesus died for me on the cross. Stand to your feet. He died to give me salvation. He died to give me more than just eternal life in heaven. He died to give me sozo, which is shalom, which is wholeness, which is peace of mind. He died so that when I'm in the storm can be out there, but it doesn't have to be inside of me. He died so that I can speak to the storm and say, you need to move on by. You are nothing but an emotion in motion. You do not belong in my house. You do not belong in this vessel. You do not belong in this temple. This temple does not belong to you. This temple was purchased with the blood of Jesus. This is his house. How dare you try to come up in the house of God and bring disorder? How dare you even come near my doorway? You have no place in here. This doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. He appointed me as a watchman in his house. He called me to keep my eyes open. And even though my body may sleep, my spirit is to stay alert. Because the times are critical. The times are dangerous. It is time not to be lulled asleep by what the world is offering us out there. God is calling the watchman back to the doorpost of his house, and he's saying, guard my house! Guard my house! Guard it, because I need you in this hour. Pick up your weapons. Get your praise out. Get your word out. Get your shoes on. Pick up your sword. Put your belt on. Come on, army of God. You have everything you need to be victorious in him. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. Do you know him? Do you K-N-O-W him? I hope you do. All you need to do to know him is receive him by faith into your heart. And once you do that, everything I said today, everything he said through his word becomes a reality in your life. You are born again by the Spirit. You are put by God the Father in his Son, Jesus Christ. In him you have that peace I talked about today. It is your responsibility to start to use it. But you cannot use the peace of God without being in the peace of God. And he calls you in. He says, all you have to do is receive me by faith. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you want me to be your Lord, that you believe I am Lord. And in that moment, you may not see the transformation yet, but God says you become a brand new creation, born of the Spirit. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be forever with him. And while you're on the earth, you will have what you need to walk it out. I want you to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you. Put me in you today. Forgive me of my sins. I confess with my mouth that I believe you are Lord, and I believe you are my Lord. Thank you. Fill me with your spirit. I know I will never, ever, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm not going to end just yet. Who really needs God to replenish you financially? Move up here right now. Come on, you need a replenishing right now. We're going to stand for this. I felt like God, that was both spiritual, but it was also financial this morning. And come on, move in. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you for being our provider. Yes, we do, Lord. We love you. We love you.
You are good to me.
Lord, we stand together as family members right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. You are the Lord who provides. You are the Lord who provides. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Thank you, Lord. You're putting it back. You're resupplying. Fresh supply coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these storehouses.
You are good to me.
I release this word. I thank you, Lord. You said there's a fresh anointing of strength that comes with this replenishing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
In the morning I sing you.
Thank you, Father. Lord, I put protection over their vaults. Thank you, Lord. There's fresh supply in these vaults. Fresh supply. Thank you, Lord. Fresh supply.
Good. In the morning I sing you.
Thank you, Lord.
Good. In the evening I sing you. Good.
I want you to sing that.
You are good to me.
To me. My neighbor, not just good to the person across the street, but you're good to me.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.